Well, today is Father's Day, and says you tell me something I don't know. But I said this morning that we would bring a message tonight relating to fathers. Now, I want to speak tonight about John Wesley's father. John Wesley's father. Did you know that John Wesley's father was a farmer? Possibly not. But he was a farmer, and he kept some livestock. And he was also a preacher, a rector in the Church of England. So he was both a farmer and a rector. And James, I think there's maybe a few images knocking about down there. And a picture says 1,000 words. So folks, I'm just going to say a wee word and make a few comments upon the pictures that you can see on the screen. This is the grave of John Wesley's father, Samuel Wesley. You can go to England today, to the town of Epworth. And you can visit his grave. And there was a very famous open-air service took place on Samuel Wesley's grave in the year 1742. I'm not going to say anything more about it at this stage, but I'm going to mention more about it later in the meeting. The next image is a picture of John Wesley preaching. John Wesley was a great preacher, of course, an open-air preacher. And in fact, some people think, well, John Wesley just loved open air preaching. He found it so easy, so natural. That's totally wrong. Do you know how John Wesley described open air preaching? He said it was a cross to him. He found it a cross. In other words, he found it very difficult and hard to go out into the open air of the gospel. So if you're thinking about Friday morning and you're saying, how on earth could I go to an open air? Well, you're in good company, because John Wesley felt exactly the same. And you can come on Friday morning and preach your heart out if you want. I'll stand back and listen. Or if you just want to come and stand with us, please do that. That'll be so appreciated. I know, folks, that not everybody can come. I understand Friday morning. For some people, it just doesn't suit. But for those, any few, and it does suit you, please do come along. And if you're not just feeling up to it, because I understand that it's not easy just getting the strength to be everywhere. If you're not just feeling up to it on Friday morning, please stay at home. Don't come out and make yourself worse. But will you pray for us? Pray that God will help us. I'm kind of not sure at the minute whether to bring an amplifier with me or not. Kenny doesn't have an amplifier in Coleraine. He just blatters away without it. So I'm kind of veering toward that, because you don't want to sort of rock the boat before you've even started. So we'll maybe go without the loudspeaker. And if I turn up hoarse next Sunday, well, you'll understand. But John Wesley believed in open-air preaching. He said that, yes, to be in a pulpit of the Church of England, that was very commodious. That's a big word, I know. Just means comfortable. Yeah, he had a lovely, comfortable pulpit to preach in the Church of England. But he said, field preaching saves souls. That's why he left his nice, comfortable pulpit. And that's why he went out into the open air. Now, we'll say more about the great open air preached on his father's grave. We'll say more about that later. The text of scripture, folks, I want us to think about tonight is Romans 14, verse 17. There it is. Thank you, James. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We will say more about that text later, and we will explain why we're speaking about it and speaking from it tonight. Let's pray. We'll just pause and ask God to help us and to teach us tonight. Father, we thank you for the joy of thinking back to bygone days. And Lord, we're not without warrant in Scripture for doing so, because you've said, remember ye the former days. You've told us to remember. And Lord, don't let us forget about your mighty blessing upon our nation in decades and centuries gone by. We don't want to forget about it, Lord, as we live in a day whenever, Lord, our little land is turning more heathen and more pagan by the day. We want to remember back to whenever Christ was honored and whenever the gospel was preached and souls were being saved and the church was flourishing. Oh, we, Lord, love to think about days like that. But then, Lord, we can't live in the past, because you're not the God of the past. No, you're the God of the here and now. Indeed, you're the great I Am, the past, the present, and the future. Oh, you're the eternal God. And so we thank you that what you did in the past, Lord, you can do just as easily today. You're not, Lord, you haven't lost your power. Somehow, Lord, you're not weaker than you were. Oh, we thank you that you're not impotent tonight, but you're omnipotent. You're still as powerful as ever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're with us tonight. And because of that fact, there's nowhere that we would rather be than in your house. Oh, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who was Samuel Wesley's spouse? Well, if you can cast your mind back to Mother's Day last year, 2017, you will possibly remember that we preached about Susanna Wesley. Samuel Wesley, the father of John Wesley, was married to Susanna Wesley. You remember we said she was the mother of Methodism, and quite a mother at that. John Wesley's father was away from his church quite a lot. In fact, probably too much, and that kind of added to his troubles. He kind of made a rod for his own back because he was away from his own congregation, preaching in other places too often, and away on other business too often. But when he was away, he had a curate who would stand in for him, you know, like pulpit supply. And this curate, I mean, he was as boring as could be. Oh, he was so boring to listen to. If you suffered from insomnia, you would come and hear him. You'd come and listen to him, for he would definitely put you to sleep as he preached. And the people in the church, they were bored stiff. And Susanna Wesley, because she had a lot of children and the children were quite young, she had to stay at home on a Sunday morning. But she didn't waste her time. She taught the children in the home. And she catechized them and got them to learn verses of scripture. And she would speak to them and teach them God's word. And they had servants in the house. And the servants would come and they would listen to Mrs. Wesley. And people in the church, they got to hear that there was a kind of a meeting going on in the rectory while the morning service was going on in the church. And the poor old curate, he lost half of his congregation, and half of the church went to hear Susanna Wesley and crowded into the Wesley household to hear her. So she was a gifted lady, and the anointing of God was upon her. But we preached about her before, so if you want to hear what we said, it's on the web, those of you who are savvy with the internet. But she was quite a lady. Susanna Wesley, of course, is buried in Bunhill Fields in London. It's a non-conformist cemetery in London. We were in London a year or two back. We didn't manage to get to Bunhill Fields, but it's on the itinerary. If we're ever back, we'd love to go to Bunhill Fields and see Susanna Wesley's grave and other people like John Bunyan, other Puritans who are buried there. And you see, what's so interesting about it, folks, is not just going and staring at a grave. I mean, if we wanted to do that, we'd just go to Ballyhoon or somewhere like that. But there's a message on the grave and a verse of scripture, and it touches your heart. Of course, you can read it on the internet, so maybe that'll have to do me. But anyway, she was a great lady and soundly saved and made a deep impression on her children. Samuel Wesley's spouse. What about Samuel Wesley's sorrow? The father of John Wesley had sorrow in his life. He fell into debt, and he was imprisoned in debtor's prison. His parishioners celebrated whenever he was imprisoned. You find that hard to believe, wouldn't you? But they did. And they went further than that. They burned his fields and killed his livestock. We only think we've got it hard. It does us good, you know, to think back to bygone days, to think about how hard Christians got it in the past. Honestly, it does good. You might wonder why your pastor keeps harping on about history. There's a reason to it, folks. There's method in his madness. We need to think back to the past, to realize that there were Christians and ministers and preachers and evangelists in bygone days, and they didn't get it nearly as easy as we get it today. Sure, compared to them, we're lying on a bed of roses. But Samuel Wesley, he definitely didn't get it easy. And of course, Susanna Wesley and the children who were at home at the time that they burned the fields and killed the livestock, that's what they had to contend with. That's persecution for you. So there was this suffering, this sorrow in Samuel Wesley's life. His son was to be exactly the same. I mean, John Wesley was hated by many people. But then, of course, the Bible says, marvel not when the world hates you. The problem with Christians in Ulster today is they think there's something wrong when people hate us. And everybody's running round, and ministers are running round communities, and they're trying to win a popularity contest. Oh, everybody loves me, isn't it great? I'm popular in the community, isn't it wonderful? And you know, whenever local people rise up in opposition, then, well, it's a disaster. What's happened? Something's wrong. In fact, the Lord would teach us tonight that whenever the persecution and the opposition begins, we should have a big smile on our face. The hated, the sweetest, dearest human being who ever walked the face of the earth, and they hung him up on a cross. They put a crown of thorns upon him. Are they going to put a laurel wreath upon our heads? I don't think so. Persecution is to be expected. And Samuel Wesley and his wife and family and young John, of course, who was very young at this stage, they experienced this intimidation. So there was the sorrow. Samuel Wesley was freed from prison because the bishop paid his debt. And he was able to return to his wife and family. Folks, whenever I was reading about that, I couldn't help but think of 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. You don't have to turn to it. Let me just read it to you. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Did you know one of the lovely names of the Lord Jesus is Bishop? Bishop Jesus! Isn't it lovely? Tell me this, has he pardoned you? Has the bishop pardoned you? Has he paid your debt? Yes, he has. Oh, the debt has been paid at the cross. The question is, have you received the pardon? I mean, Jesus, on this Father's Day 2018, in this church tonight, he's holding out the pardon. And he's saying to you, You don't have to jump through hoops, just take the pardon. And he's saying it in Macramason and in Limavady and Coleraine and in other places where the gospel is going forth tonight. Bishop Jesus is holding out the pardon. And he's saying to sinners and backsliders, just come and take it. Now, sinners and backsliders have the free will, as we said last Sunday night, to throw it back in the Saviour's face. So they have the right to do that. They have the choice to do that. You have the choice to do that tonight. Let me just say, it'll be no loss to him if you do that. You mark my words. Some people think, oh, poor Jesus will be up in heaven, and boy, for all eternity, he'll be at a loss because so-and-so didn't respond to the gospel. I'll tell you what, he'll not be. Every one of his church will be gathered in. Every one of the souls that he has bled and died for will be safely gathered in. And Jesus will be up in heaven, and he'll be full of joy, and the church will be full of joy. Don't you think that because you reject his so great salvation that somehow Jesus is going to be the loser? I'll tell you who'll be the loser. You'll be the loser. And you'll be the loser for all eternity. And it goes the same for every evening service across Ulster tonight and every drive-in or open air, whatever's taking place. There's people and they're walking past open airs tonight on the coast. And they're laughing. The preachers, look at them mad hatters. Keep your message. We're not interested. And they go on whistling and laughing. They think they're big fellas. Well, they can laugh all the way to hell, but they'll never laugh themselves out of it. Has the bishop set you free? Have you accepted his pardon? Oh, Samuel Wesley was delighted. Of course he was delighted to accept the bishop's pardon and to just to be on the end of that goodwill of the bishop. Otherwise, he would still have been stuck in prison. The spouse of Samuel Wesley, the sorrow of Samuel Wesley. What about his son? Samuel Wesley's son. Of course, it was John Wesley. Did you know that on this very day in 1703... John Wesley was born 17th of June 1703. John Wesley was born into the home of Samuel and Susanna Wesley. When he was only 5 years of age, now some of you may have heard this, you may have read it, quite possibly you all have, but it does no harm to be reminded, but maybe for the benefit of anybody who perhaps hasn't heard the story. When John Wesley was just 5, he was nearly burned in a house fire. It was, it was the townspeople who had set the house on fire. They weren't content with burning the fields of the rector, but they also burned his house. And in the year 1708, the fire started at the rectory there in Epworth. Samuel got out, Susanna got out, all the children got out safely out of the fire, except one. Guess who? Little John. Little John was seen in an upstairs window, standing at the window, the flames about to devour him. Guess who saw him? A farmer. Thank God for the farmers. There was a local farmer nearby who saw the little child standing at the window crying. And he went to some of the other neighbours and they made a human ladder. And they reached up to the window where little John Wesley was. And they rescued him. And just a matter of seconds after he was rescued, the whole house was engulfed in flames. For the rest of his life, John Wesley would look back and refer to himself as a brand plucked out of the fire. And that's a quote from Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2. Samuel Wesley's spouse, his sorrow, his son, saved by a human ladder. Tell me this, folks. Are we part of the human ladder that's seeking to reach souls today? That's what it is. That's what the local church is. You know, it's just a human ladder. It's just one person linked to another person. One Christian linked to another Christian. And it's all about saving souls and rescuing souls. Are you part of the great human ladder of the Lord Jesus? This great ladder in the world today that's seeking to reach the lost. Seeking to bring Christ to the lost. That's what we'll be doing, DV, on Friday morning. Bringing Christ to the lost. Now, we can't bring the lost to Christ. That's impossible. The Lord doesn't expect us to do that. But I tell you what he expects us to do. He expects us to bring Christ to the lost. We can do that. That's possible. Oh, to be part of the human ladder. Do you know there's a headstone somewhere? I'm not quite sure where it is, but it relates to John Wesley. Gives a wee sort of an epitaph, a biography of Wesley. And at the bottom, there's one of John Wesley's prayers. You know what it says? Lord, let me not live to be useless. That's John Wesley prayed. Lord, let me not live to be useless. John Wesley's father's spouse, his father's sorrow, his father's son, his father's significance. Let me finish with that. His father's significance. What's the point preaching about Samuel Wesley? Nearly 300 years later. What relevance has it? Well, we're back to the picture that you looked at earlier. The picture of John Wesley preaching. I don't know, James, whether you could maybe bring it up. Don't worry if you can't. We'll not panic. But there it is. John Wesley, guess where he's preaching? On his father's grave. On Samuel Wesley's grave. You know, John Wesley was put out of the Church of England. They wouldn't let him preach. They wouldn't let him into the pulpit. They said he's an enthusiast. One boy's extreme. Can't let him in. He had been in America, of course, in Georgia, seeking to reach people with the gospel, and he wasn't even saved himself. But then the Lord brought him back across the Atlantic, and he brought him to a little house meeting one night in London. And as he puts it in his own words, he felt his heart strangely warmed. As somebody was reading from the preface of Martin Luther's commentary to the book of Romans. And he was saved that night. And then he began to preach. And the Holy Ghost set him on fire. And whenever the Holy Ghost sets a preacher on fire, there'll be pulpits that'll be closed to him. You mark my words. There'll be churches, there'll be ministers. Now I'm talking evangelical ministers. And they'll not let him in there. Not have any time for him. That boy, how could you let that boy into the pulpit? You wouldn't know what he would say. And some wee snowflake might be offended and not come back. Well, the great preachers of the past, they weren't worried about offending people. The only thing that worried them was offending God. I mean, take for example A.W. Tozer, Leonard Ravenhill. It was commonplace. I mean, virtually every Sunday for somebody to get up in the middle of the sermon and walk out. They couldn't take it. Do you think Tozer and Ravenhill ran after them? Oh, come back. Sorry for saying that. dream on. And so Wesley, the Holy Ghost got a grip of him. And whenever the Holy Ghost gets a grip of a man or a woman, the devil realizes there's trouble ahead. And he'll do all he can to hinder that person. And so John Wesley, he was barred from a lot of pulpits. He came back from America. He was saved by God's grace. He went out. He started field preaching, open air preaching. But on one occasion, he was back in Epworth in his father's town. And he went to the Anglican church and he offered to help the curate who was there, the man who had taken over from his father. But the curate would have none of it. He wouldn't let Wesley preach. He wouldn't even let him read from the Book of Common Prayer. There was another man in the church after the service. Wesley didn't ask him to do this. But the man, whenever the people were coming out of the service that afternoon, the man announced, "Mr. Wesley will preach in the cemetery of the church at 6 o'clock. And that's what happened. John Wesley came back at 6 o'clock. And you know, the biggest congregation that had ever gathered there in Epworth was there that evening to hear John Wesley preach in the open air. He preached from his father's grave. I'm talking now literally, I mean so close to the church, just about 6 feet from the wall of the church. And Wesley stood up in his father's grave. His father had passed away in 1735. And John Wesley preached from the verse that was up on the screen, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. He took that verse as his text that Sunday evening. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." He actually preached for 3 nights. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. You know what he said? He said he did more good on those 3 nights preaching 3 sermons in the open air than he did preaching 3 years in the church. You get that? I don't know, maybe that's why the Lord is putting it into your pastor's heart to get into the open air. Oh, that God would add his blessing on Friday morning. But let me say a few words about that text of Scripture as we finish. It tells us there what Christianity is. It speaks there of righteousness. Righteousness. You see, that's our relation to God. We need righteousness. God is righteous. He's perfectly righteous. We are not. We are unrighteous. How can we be righteous in the sight of a holy God? Well, it's simply by coming to him and receiving the spotless righteousness of his Son. I mean, literally taking a garment, a spiritual garment, receiving it from him. And now you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And John Wesley translated the great hymn of Count von Zinzendorf, the German Christian. "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress." It's wonderful to have that garment of salvation. Do you have it tonight? Peace. That's our relation to our Christian brethren. To our fellow believers, peace. Whenever a person has the righteousness of Christ, whenever they're truly saved, they will be peaceful in the church. Whenever I see a Christian in a church and they're causing trouble, and as they used to say up where we come from, I don't know why they use this term down here, the razor rickstay. You get people like that in churches where you get that kind of a person, a troublemaker. be very worried about whether they're even saved or not. For the true believer is like a dove. It's good to hear John talk about the birds this morning. And the wee dove, so peaceful. Whenever the Holy Spirit regenerates your soul, that's just the way you are. Fall out with somebody. Oh no, let them have their way. Forget about me. Joy. What can we say about the joy? Well, thank God that's to do with ourselves. Righteousness, that's to do with God. Peace, that's to do with our church family. And joy, that's to do with ourselves. Whenever we're saved and whenever we're living peaceful lives in the church, then, oh, the joy that floods our souls. You know, folks, there's a whole lot of people and they're getting wild excited about the World Cup. In fact, there's probably people staying away from church tonight because they want to see a match. And boy, there's people getting real excited about it. Whenever their team scores and their team wins the match, that takes it to a different level. Talk about joy. But let me say that their joy is absolutely nothing compared with the joy of being washed in the blood of Jesus. The joy of being right with God.